Isn't this a sports show?
I'm self-serving.
Yes, you definitely are.
Almost entirely.
There are more pieces of evidence of that than that the dinosaurs ever existed. We have more sound clips of me being self-promoting than we have fossils in the fossil record.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have more evidence of me being self-serving than we have that the moon landing was a real thing. Like, we know that I'm self-serving.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I play enough fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for coming up on 10 years, which is completely bleeping bonkers. I've barely been potty trained for 10 years.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I'm dope. Quit listening. Unfollow me on Twitter.
On ESPN Kansas City.
It's nice to have a whole weekend to accrue storylines. Listen, I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, and I don't know what Wednesday is going to look like. Most of the radio world right now is getting ready to lean on Rob Riggle to provide a week worth of Radio Row interviews. I don't know if Rob Riggle's going to be at Radio Row, but Rob Riggle's going to be on Radio Row.
I feel like that'll happen.
I mean, that feels like even odds at this point. He's the Tom Brady for MVP voting of the odds-on favorite to be at Radio Row. But the good news is, whenever you have a whole weekend to drum up some storylines, we have something fall out of the air today, it makes the whole job a little easier on a Monday. You can just sort of waddle on in, sit down, put your grumpy cat on your microphone, your wiener dog on the board. You might have to tune into Facebook to get those jokes if you're listening to this as an audio medium, as almost all of you are. But we're always on the Facebook page, ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. You can see the grumpy cat on my microphone and Dick Justice, the wiener dog, on the board. Really quick backstory for why he's named Dick Justice, Beards, do you mind?
There was a Sports Saturday show that we did several months ago that involved just us looking up a bunch of funny sports names.
Yeah.
And Dick Justice was one of those.
It's a great name.
And it was probably one of my favorite ones.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Good, clean, fun.
Completely.
And also...
Squeaky.
And, you know, wiener dog. I know it's a little bit on the nose, because whenever you think wiener dog, you immediately think, uh-oh. Justice.
That was insensitive.
You think justice, and you think that's a dog that would work for a law enforcement agency. Which is, of course, what we've been referring to. So I have a grumpy cat in a jester hat hanging on my microphone. Beards has a wiener dog on the board. And we're going to, the story of today is Aqib Talib. I don't want to fool you into thinking we're not going to get to that very, very soon. That's the monologue topic of the day or whatever. Right off the top. But it would be a shame for me to ignore the story that came through over the weekend. That is obviously where the show starts. I again apologize for those of you only listening and not watching the show. I will try to paint a mental picture for you. But my Blake Bortles card came in the mail!
Yay!
And it is not just a Blake Bortles card, not just a Blake Bortles rookie card, although it is one of those. This is a Panini Happy Holidays Blake Bortles personally worn Santa hat swatch in a card. It says on the back, the enclosed material was cut from a Santa hat personally worn by Blake Bortles and is guaranteed by Panini America, Inc. This cost me $8. I spent $8 on this joke, so I hope you're laughing at it. It's also, like, it's in a couple of sleeves, but I feel like I should at least, like, touch the Santa hat.
You haven't done that yet?
I haven't. I haven't done anything with it other than put it in my backpack. I was going to wait until the show. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, I'm peeling the tape off the top. That was pretty sonically pleasing. And so it's pretty thick because, again, it has a swatch of Santa hat in it. Taking it out of the hard case. Now it's just a little sleeve. Oh, it's in my actual hand. Okay, ready? I'm about to touch a Santa hat that touched Blake Bortles. It feels like being carried by your defense.
I was hoping for, like, you getting just corrupted just from touching it.
I was hoping that it was going to actually have, spikes in it.
Yeah.
That it would cut me, yes. It's very soft, and now Blake Bortles and I are one. This is like a Horcrux to me. Our soul, a piece of Blake Bortles' soul has been put into this card. Here, let's see if you can hear the Santa hat. It's mostly just the card hitting the mic, but I think we transferred some of that energy along. So this is going to stay in the studio forever because I bought it as a gift to the world, not just as something for myself. It's like you don't want to hide your light under a bushel. I don't want to keep my Blake Bortles Santa hat personally worn by Blake Bortles card in a box in my room. I want to share its light with the world. I have not tweeted out a picture of it yet. I was waiting until the show. I will tweet out a picture of it at JB Briscoe if this is of interest to you. And let's be honest, if you're listening to the show, it is of interest to you. Again, it's not just some Blake Bortles game jersey. No, this is a Santa hat worn by Blake Bortles. This is basically a holy relic of this show. This is the show's, well, maybe not the first holy relic. Because I would say that Dick Justice, the Wiener Dog, is in the conversation. I would argue that the Grumpy Cat with the Jester Hat will become a part of the conversation after it's been sort of sanctified by many hours hanging on the microphone here. Do we have any other definite relics of the show? Beards' Royals hat is probably up there.
Sure, we can go with that. The blanket.
Oh, the blanket, that's true. Yeah, no, the blanket was probably the first almost entirely sports relic. If you're a new listener, which I just can't imagine that being a thing, but I have a blanket that has like a show logo and a bunch of mean tweets that I've gotten over the months, and now I guess over the year, last year or so, of doing radio, mean tweets and mean comments, and someone telling me to stick my head in an oven, because I said that Colin Kaepernick would be a good fit in Kansas City. That's definitely the first relic. And I think you could make a case for some, like, headphones and stuff, but, like, I don't feel like these are all just very, these are kind of, you know, these will be relics whenever the show is, you know, being recognized by the Radio Hall of Fame. I just sort of gestured a little bit and accidentally hit the Grumpy Cat with my hand, and it did a little, like, pirouette. It was very funny. I enjoyed it very much. But this Blake Bortles Santa hat relic card is the first relic. Not the first relic, the newest relic inducted into the Church of Almost Entirely Sports. Sacrilegious? Sure.
Very.
But
some might even call it heretical.
Heretical, absolutely.
In fact, I think I'm getting a call now from the Catholic Church excommunicating us.
I don't think I can be excommunicated by the Catholic Church.
Don't tell them that.
I'm honestly, I'm not sure, though. This is my pulpit where I will preach to you the merits of Blake Bortles. I think I can really have...
Oh, it's on fire.
I feel like I can have a real heel turn on the whole Blake Bortles conversation because now he's lost and will not be... Probably not even be a Jaguar next year. So then it becomes about the Blake Bortles redemption story. And I'm also here for that. After I've killed him. It's resurrecting Blake Bortles after I have murdered him with my bare hands. So that's what I did with my weekend. Did you do anything interesting with your weekend beyond that?
Me and a friend watched the entirety of season 2 of Ash vs. the Evil Dead yesterday.
There it is. That's right up there.
It was good.
Yesterday, for me, was the first day in probably the second day in like 6 months that I've not left my house. I just was home the whole time. I just sort of slept in, didn't really do anything, and then like did some laundry and then went to bed. It was amazing. I feel like I kind of wasted an off day, but also, well, that's what I wanted to do with my off day. All right, we can talk about Aqib Tlaib now. Because I actually do want to talk about Aqib Tlaib. It's funny, I was thinking that the podcast of this hour, I was thinking about this beforehand, would probably be something like, let's talk about Aqib Tlaib. And it would be very funny for that to be the title of this podcast and for it to take 10 minutes for us to get talking about Aqib Tlaib. But that's just kind of how this show goes, so I hope you've gotten used to that by now. But there were some... I hate this word because it does not mean the same thing as reporting. And this isn't reporting. But there were some sort of rumblings about Aqib Tlaib that started coming out, I don't know, last night and this morning. And it seems like now the Broncos are making Aqib Tlaib available. Or, at the very least, they want everyone to think that Aqib Tlaib is being made available or could be released in order to have Tlaib agree to renegotiate his contract. That's also an option. But you have to, if you're the Chiefs, you have to ignore the conspiracy theory side of this is a negotiating ploy to try to get Aqib Tlaib to agree to renegotiate. You have to ignore that and at least do the due diligence of going to the Broncos and saying, hey, what would it take? Because if Aqib Tlaib is legitimately available, if he is legitimately at least up for negotiating around, the Chiefs are just about the perfect fit for Aqib Tlaib. And again, this could be the Broncos trying to hassle Tlaib into a contract restructuring of some sort. And they could end up releasing him outright if they really do want to create some more cap space. But if I were the Chiefs, I would offer the Broncos a mid to late draft pick to just take him off their hands right away. Say, don't worry about restructuring. Don't worry about releasing him outright and getting nothing in return. Here's a fifth round pick. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Also, the counter arguments here, I think, are very easily dealt with. So Aqib Tlaib is 31. Darrelle Revis is 32. That is bothersome. But Seth Kaiser did a really good film review of this, and we'll probably talk to him later this week. And you can read his film review on Arrowhead Pride. I'll reference it more throughout the day. But Aqib Tlaib is performing at a very high level. Seth did a very good thing by comparing a lot of Tlaib's traits with Sean Smith's whenever he was here in Kansas City, performing very well in this Bob Sutton defense. Except Aqib Tlaib does more. He's a better version of Sean Smith. He's also a good run-stopping corner, which as much as I don't really care one way or another how Marcus Peters plays in the run game, if it's an advantage that you bring with you, I will listen to that. Doesn't bother me one bit. So Tlaib does not strike me as a guy on one of those kind of roller coaster slope declines. I don't think that's coming for Aqib Tlaib, not yet. Here's the other thing. If that roller coaster slope does come, the Chiefs can get off the ride extremely easily. This is why I would trade for Aqib Tlaib, if that is an option, rather than trying to swoop him up in free agency. In 2018, Aqib Tlaib is due $12 million, a pretty high number. But $1 million of that are dead money, and that will count against the cap if you were to cut him. And by the way, trading for him and then cutting him would be pretty disastrous. You kind of just got to assume that he's sticking around for $12 million through 18. In 2019, Talib is due $8 million. None of that is guaranteed. And then he's a free agent in 2020. So you get him for 2 years, $20 million. I keep hitting this grumpy cat hanging on the microphone. I keep sort of gesturing at my laptop, and then I spin it around and it stares at me. It's very soft, though. Where was I going with this? Where on God's earth was I going with this? Oh, yeah. $20 million for 2 years. Not a terrible value. And he's performing at a very high level. If he drops off, you can drop out. If he goes Tom Bahal Lee at the end of 2018, in 2019, you're not still stuck with that Tom Bahal Lee commitment. You can bail for free on his current contract. Now, if Talib does get cut by the Broncos and he becomes a free agent, he's probably not going to make $12 million in the first year of the deal. He might make $8 million in the second. But the guaranteed money will be much higher. I would assume that if Aqib Talib went on the open market, whenever every team in the NFL could use another cornerback, he'd probably make something like, I mean, this is a complete shot in the dark. $7 million in 2018, $8 million with 7 or 8 of it, or 6 or 7 of it guaranteed. And then 2019 becomes a lower guaranteed number, but a higher base salary. Shot in the dark. But that's about where I would end up. And I would rather have a higher total earnings number and have more flexibility when it comes to cutting bait with an aging player. But I say an aging player, and that is not a pejorative here. Again, I don't mean to keep crushing like Tom Bahal. I really like Tom Bahal. I'd love to have him on the show to talk about his music. Here's a fun fact, Beards. I'm addressing you directly because you were looking at your phone. I really feel like you'll be interested in this, but everyone should be interested in this.
Okay.
I am friends with Tom Bahal's music manager on Snapchat.
Okay.
Is that interesting? Isn't that
it's surprising.
A surprising sentence?
Yes. Or is he like the Lil B of Snapchat who just
follows everybody?
No, he
has my phone number.
Okay.
I need to text him again sometime and be like, hey, you want us to have Tom Bond to do this before he gets cut or something? Because that would be kind of crummy. I tried to get Tom Bond on the show before this show even existed. Tried to get him on Sports Sunday one day, just talk about his music. And the Chiefs did... The Chiefs pleasantly declined. But I met his music manager, and he gave me his number, and then I texted him, and now we're Snapchat friends. We don't have like a snap streak going or anything, but we have each other's information, which I mention only because I think that's a funny sentence, and I need to reach out to him again. Anyway, the point I was making about Tom Bahali is that He is, when you think of an aging NFL player, that's kind of where you think. That's kind of where your mind goes. Aqib Talib is not on that kind of decline right now. There are no injury issues, and that was really the problem with Tamba. Pro Football Focus had Aqib Talib as the number 15 cornerback in football last year. Marcus Peters was 17. You get to have 15 and 17 going into the next season, and you can assume that that Talib slides a few spots and Peters rises a few spots next year. I would assume that. But so going in the next year, instead of having 15 and 17, you have 10 and 20? I mean, this is a way to revolutionize your defense with one move. because you have lockdown corners on both sides of the field. And you have Eric Berry in the middle. And you have Reggie Ragland and Justin Houston as two guys in that linebacker core. When you need to replace a couple more spots there. But you can do that with the draft. You can do that with the rest of your free agent money. Aqib Talib being brought in would really speed up that process.
Can I speak for the casual fan?
Please.
There was a perception that Andy Reid kind of lost control of his locker room last year.
Uh-huh.
We're now adding a crazy person that shot himself in the leg to that.
Doesn't that sound like the most fun possible thing?
Oh, yes, except for the fact that when I will take post-game phone calls next year.
Well, I think the only time that you can legitimately, and I might need to be corrected on this, I think the only time that Talib being a crazy person has turned into on-field problems has been against Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, I was also going to say that. Also, there's chain snatching.
Yeah, the Chiefs just might have to take an L against the Raiders one year. I don't know.
Yeah, Kansas City fans are really going
to
love that.
Talib might have to sit that game out. You're paying Aqib Talib to play 14 games. Or you're going to just let Marcus Peters follow Michael Crabtree, which they've never done with Marcus Peters ever. I understand that there is that fear or whatever of, oh, yeah, it's more crazy people. I don't think Andy Reid ever lost control of the locker room, though. I think that's a poor perception. I understand how you could get there, but I don't think that's what actually happened. He lost control of Marcus Peters, perhaps. Also, Marcus Peters didn't have Eric Berry, which by every possible report was a huge deal. If Eric Berry is in the locker room, he is the alpha dog of that defense. Only Justin Houston has comparable influence, assuming that Derek Johnson and Tom Bahaly end up not being here next year. I think the defense would be fine. I know that there will be some angry post-game calls, I'm sure. Whenever Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters combine for four personal foul penalties in a single half. But you know when there's been a lot of angry calls and comments and tweets? Whenever Bob Sutton's defense can't stop Marcus Mariota. So that would be my concern, personally. I would stay worried about that first. Aqib Talib also played on a defense that won a Super Bowl. He didn't derail that team. I'm here for it. I am 100% in on bringing in Aqib Talib. In a vacuum. I can't know the price being asked. But if it's a fifth round pick like it was for Reggie Ragland, sign me up. Also, it would allow you to draft a young cornerback while giving you a guy opposite Marcus Peters for the next year or two. The Chiefs aren't going to end up with a first-round pick. They might have a couple seconds whenever they move Alex Smith. Almost certain they're not going to get a first-round pick, I would guess. So you got to draft a big, physical, raw corner in the third or the fourth this year. You draft a guy that has a great wingspan or great measurables, like a Sean Smith, but a guy that doesn't have the technical skills. And then you trust your staff to develop him in the next year or two while Aqib holds down the outside spot. What were you going to say? Because you had a snarky face.
I was going to make a wingspan Jay Billis joke.
We're going to have to implement like a swear jar, but instead of swearing, it's whenever you shoehorn a basketball thing into a non-basketball conversation. You're eventually going to be working for negative money.
I already am.
I was going to say that you can come over to my house and I'll give you a brick of ramen, but I'm almost out of ramen. L- last night I was just sort of meandering around the kitchen. I did that thing where you look at your pantry and then your freezer and then the fridge and then back to the freezer. I think I ended up making it like midnight. There were some chopped carrots that I threw into a cup of ramen, and I made a cup of ramen and I drank one of my roommate's ginger ales at like 11:45. I desperately need to go grocery shopping. Can we get Price Chopper or Hy-Vee or Walmart or literally any produce, any place that sells produce? Can we get one of them to sponsor the show and then to just pay me in Price Chopper gift cards? Could I just get someone to drop off like a bag of iceberg lettuce at my house every couple of days just to make sure that I have something green? I feel like we could make that happen. Beards, when's the last thing you ate a green? Last time you ate a green thing?
Jeez, I can't think.
Jolly Ranchers don't count, by the way.
That's okay. I'm not a Jolly Ranchers person.
Darn. I was trying to think of a green thing that was definitely not a vegetable. I do worry about just like your heart health. Not that I'm not throwing stones from my glass house, but like I only ever see you eat pizza and drink Coke, and I just think that like
actually I had a sandwich today.
I've also seen you have a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah,
with nothing else.
They're good.
Like, do you have a? Oh man, it happened naturally. I was going to say, do you have a cocaine habit? And that's a tally. We're at 6 days straight now, I think.
Six. Well, since we've been counting.
Since we've been counting, yeah. I was not shoehorning it in. I was going to say, like, did you smoke a lot in private or something?
No.
Like, oh, I'm getting an urge. Did you just eat once a day like a polar bear? I'm worried about you.
Food's too good to eat just once a day.
All right, well, we've tried 4 or 5 times. I just don't think we're going to find a funny way to end this segment.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
But I went over to my parents' house, to watch the playoff games yesterday. I don't have cable, and I didn't want to try to stream it online. I want to just, you know, sit in the living room. Eat the free food that my mom makes instead of, you know, going to ramen town.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, welcome back. We tried very hard to have a good ending to the last segment. We never totally got there, but we did our best, and that's about all you can ask for. I seriously am so into the Aqib Talib idea. Not just because I desperately want to cover that team that has Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib opposite each other. Like, it just feels like it would be the most fun time. I mean, it'd be, listen to this. I mean, so, like, you've got likely rookie of the year runner-up in the backfield. You're getting year two of a full-blown Tyreek Hill. You've got Travis Kelce. All planetarily rotating around. What is the word I'm looking for? Orbiting around. Wow. That was weird. I was looking for orbiting and I can only think of planetary rotating. All planetarily orbiting around Patrick Mahomes on the offense. Defensively, you've got Marcus Peters and Eric Berry is back and the new addition, Aqib Talib, also probably a new pass rusher brought into the mix. Justin Houston's in another year removed from his injury. Like, it would be a super interesting team. And I know that interesting doesn't necessarily win games. But it would make the development of Pat Mahomes and the progress of the defense so interesting. And I also think it's the right move from a football perspective. And again, Seth Kaiser and Airhead Pride wrote up about a bunch of this, why it makes sense, and there are a couple of hurdles, the main hurdle being what the Chiefs have draft pick-wise, what they don't have, and what it would cost. And this is when it becomes about what other teams have as an interest level with the Broncos, what the Broncos could be willing to get, wanting to get. A conversation that immediately followed this up was obviously about Alex Smith and Aqib Talib, and then the Broncos also throwing in a pick. At one point, somebody in Denver who has been roundly criticized for being a dope, at one point said the Broncos would have to give a second along with Aqib Talib and for Alex Smith, and they would do that deal. Which obviously in Kansas City had everybody just like popping champagne. That's why I was so drunk this morning, or actually I apologize, Beards, for texting you. All of those profane things. I was just super hammered because I started chugging champagne at 4 a.m. It's actually more like 7 a.m. It's amazing I'm not hungover now. Because this was the thing that was being brought up. And I never thought that that was going to happen. I would be very surprised to see Alex Smith moved mostly for a player. I think it's going to be a draft pick scenario. But I would absolutely take that deal. I'm not... If you're willing to move on from Alex Smith, you can't be afraid of him going to the Broncos. I would much prefer to have Alex Smith go to the Broncos for a high second round pick than to the Jags for a low second round pick. In fact, I'd rather have him go to a worse team, I guess, because, you know, that logic, if you do want to bring that logic in, you'd rather have him go to a worse team. Less likely to see him down the line. I don't know, you don't want to play him twice a year. Meh. If you're willing to move on to Pat Mahomes, which I unequivocally am, I don't think you can be terribly concerned about facing Alex Smith again. Now, does that bring the risk of, oh man, we might lose to Alex Smith in the playoffs in the first? All right. Well, if he's part of the problem, then he's going to do that to his new team also. Oh, it's about the Smith and the Andy Reid combination. I mean, maybe, but we're ready for the Mahomes thing, aren't we? Like, yes, Alex Smith makes the Broncos a better team. But Aqib Talib makes the Chiefs a better team. And Mahomes makes the Chiefs a better team next, the year after, in his second year, you hope. Maybe even in his first year. But it's about finding that out. Like, we all agree on that, right? Like, I mean, there are a couple people that occasionally pop into my mentions to remind me that Alex Smith was very good at deep throwing the deep ball this year. All right, I mean, that's fine, I guess. I've long contended that we're basically at the same place with Alex Smith we've been for a very long time, which is that he can't bail you out whenever other parts of your team aren't performing up to their standards. And you have to be able to do that to be a quarterback that can legitimately win things. Or you have to have a team that performs immaculately. Right now, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles play immaculately with Nick Foles, and then again in the NFC Championship, Nick Foles blew up. The Vikings didn't get a transcendent performance from Case Keenum whenever the rest of their defense couldn't stop Nick Foles. That's just kind of how this equation usually works. So how the Jags get so far with Blake Bortles, with Santa hat wearing Blake Bortles? It's the card again. It's back into its case. Because that team played just about immaculately. Whenever they weren't playing immaculately, you know what happened? They lost. Like they were 10-6 last year with the best D events that anyone's ever seen. Because whenever it stumbled, you lost. I don't want Alex Smith to go to Denver, but I also don't really care if he does. If Alex Smith and the Broncos end up beating the Chiefs for the AFC West division title, kind of deserved it. And also, if Alex Smith beats the Chiefs for the AFC West, as the quarterback of the Broncos, all right, would you not have done that, made that same move? If Alex Smith beats the Chiefs for the AFC West title in 2020, then I would be willing to say, well, this was a mistake. Next year cannot be the definitive Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes resolution. For Mahomes, you're looking at the next, how long is that rookie contract? It's a 5-year deal, I think. Can I get some music for Googling Patrick Mahomes' spot track page as if I don't already have it bookmarked? The reason I don't know this by heart is because there are some changes whenever you're picked within the top 10 and outside of the top 10. Like, I think the last one becomes an option. Let's see. Okay, so this one, whenever you're a top 10 pick, you sign a 4-year contract, and the fifth year is a club option, which it would be for $16 million. It's basically what Bortles, that's the year that Bortles is going into next year for 17 or 19, I can't remember which one. But so Mahomes was a $3 million cap hit last year, it'll be 3.7 this year, 4.4 the next year, 5.2 the next year, and then it's a club option to pick him up for $16 million, if they haven't extended him already by then, or if they don't release him, if he Bortles is everywhere. He will not Bortles. He must not Bortles. He will either burn out in a glorious fire, or he will take this team to the moon. He's going to make as much money in his first 4 years as an NFL quarterback as Alex Smith is going to make next year. Quarterback value is weird, man. Also, it is going to happen again this year, the Super Bowl thing. Teams that win the Super Bowl either have an elite quarterback or a value at the position. With Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, the Eagles are right on the edge, just inside of having a good value for their quarterback play. And Tom Brady is Tom Brady, who is somehow both a value and the best quarterback I've ever seen. So that theory reigns on. Also, by the way, I don't know if you, the general population, you saw this, but the Chiefs made a bunch of coaching moves today. They moved a bunch of assistant coaches around and hired some new quality control coaches, and Brad Childress officially retired. Somebody else officially retired. The only one that was not listed as a retirement and was a little bit surprising is the Chiefs parted ways with linebackers coach Gary Gibbs. This was one that was listed with the two retirements, but not as a retirement, but as a parting of ways. So I think you can fairly say the Chiefs fired their linebackers coach, which I find kind of interesting. The pass rush was not good, but I don't know if that's a condemnation of the job that he does or the technique that he teaches. He's been here for most of the careers of Derek Johnson, Tom Bahali, and Justin Houston, if memory serves. I think he was here for something like 8 years. Ragland came along very well. And there is the problem of, again, you know, D4 didn't really develop. Didn't ever really hear from Daddy Nicholas. Tano Passanio still Dre Raw. But the thing that I would say with this is that Gary Gibbs was not the first or even the second assistant coach that I would have parted ways with if I was the Chiefs. I think offensive line coach Andy Heck and defensive line coach Britt Reid were both better candidates for getting the boot. But he probably would have been the third. I think you can say that the linebackers largely underperformed, probably more so than anywhere else. Also, interestingly, he's being replaced by two people. And more coaches for a small number of players seems like a reasonable strategy. The job now is split between Mark DeLeon, who's going to work with the inside linebackers, and Mike Smith, who will be responsible for the outside linebackers. DeLeon was an assistant linebackers coach, while Smith was an assistant defensive line coach. So you get a little more delegation, I suppose. Not that it'll matter whenever the whole house gets clean, whenever they fire Bob Sutton next offseason. What? Who said that? Who said that? That was sneaky. Just slipped right out. But I thought that was interesting. It's some defensive coaching moves. I don't know if you can have giant takeaways from it. The Chiefs made a bunch of small moves within their coaching staff. Woohoo. Don't give me a break, signed Beards. I was just slowing down. I was taking the off ramp towards the commercial break that I know we have to take. And you give me the break sign, and you just threw a deer in front of the semi truck that I'm driving. I will obliterate it. Blood everywhere. I was just slowing down, taking the off ramp, and then I was going to say, speaking of the Chiefs defense, Sam Mellinger killed Bob Sutton.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I've carried this Patrick Mahomes hype for a full-term pregnancy.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I want to birth it into the world.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I do say some bizarre things. Okay, so I I was finishing up a text message. I wasn't completely prepared to come back from break right then. Just full honesty. I put out a plan on Twitter, and it was probably my most liked tweet of the last maybe month or so. My new idea for this radio show is that I will just read Sam Mellinger's columns, and then we'll just play that on a loop for 2 hours. And that tweet ended up with like 30-some likes, which is pretty good for me. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. But we're going to do it now.
And now, Josh reads the internet.
Why Chiefs coach Andy Reid's mistake goes beyond keeping Bob Sutton, by Sam Mellinger. You can read this. KansasCity.com. I'm not going to read the whole thing in its entirety, but I'm going to read the good bits, which it's all good bits, but I'm going to... Okay. I want to be wrong about believing Chiefs coach Andy Reid is making a major mistake in retaining Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator. I want to be wrong about believing this is about much more than Sutton's inability to adjust, but it's also the clearest sign possible that Reid was the perfect coach to restore credibility to the Chiefs, but the wrong one to lead them to the Super Bowl. I want to be wrong. Please. Pretty please. He goes on to talk about the reasons that he would like to be wrong. And he interrupts himself with, but this has a bad feel on so many levels. Let's start with Sutton. He hasn't done enough despite being given plenty. I add parenthetically now, I think this is a very good retort to some of the unjust praise that Sutton gets. In 5 years, he's coordinated blown leads of 18 and 28 points, two of the worst five playoff collapses in NFL history.
In his fifth year on the job, his group was 28th in yards, 27th in yards per play, 24th in yards per pass, 24th in yards per rush, 23rd in third downs, and dead last in Football Outsiders DVOA. Put another way, the Chiefs had their best offense since Dick Vermeil while spending more than half their salary cap on defense, and still their season ended because the defense couldn't stop a mediocre offense. Put it one more way, the Chiefs are all set to bring back a defensive coordinator who allowed a talented defense to crumble after Eric Berry's injury in the season opener. The defense's failings are not all on Sutton, of course. Players should always get the bulk of credit or blame, and former general manager John Dorsey allowed some holes that were amplified by Berry's absence. But Dorsey was fired last summer, and the thing about sports is you never know where the ball will find you, when the spotlight will shine, and this could have been the year Sutton rose to an unexpected challenge and helped push the Chiefs forward. Instead, Sutton was exposed. He allowed Daniel Sorensen to serve as a turnstile for far too long in Berry's absence. A talented defensive line underperformed, and the pass rush to be stuffed over and over again, despite a full season from Justin Houston. The Chiefs needed creativity, and Sutton provided none. The Chiefs tied for the NFL's fifth lowest blitz rate, and no team ran fewer stunts on pass plays, according to Pro Football Focus. This despite athletic defensive linemen and safeties, including Sorensen, adept at the timing and subtleties required to succeed in blitzes. The result was repeatable and became predictable. The Chiefs are 27th or worse in sack percentage, quarterback pressure percentage, and time required to create pressure, according to Pro Football Focus. And not only does Sam continue on here to discuss how, you know, it was a very poetic end of the season whenever Eric Murray was lined up as a 3-4 defensive end whenever Derrick Henry ran for a 35-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter of the playoff game. But he also goes on to talk about Andy Reid and how Andy Reid continues to not learn from his mistakes. Whether you believe general manager Brett Veach controls personnel or not, here is Reid letting another past mistake limit his future. Reid is famously loyal to his assistants, an admirable quality that's undoubtedly helped him succeed. I hope you're ready for 2018.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.
Hey, podcast listeners. Yes, you, specifically you listening now. I'm not also on the radio in this moment. I am just talking through the Roughing the Kicker podcast feed. The next thing coming up is sort of out of order, but it's not like a prequel or anything. You'll be fine. But this is a clip from a segment from Friday's edition of Almost Entirely Sports, where Dr. Professor joins us to talk about the Chiefs. I can try to explain it in brief. It's going to be confusing one way or another, I'm guessing, until you figure out what's going on. So I'll do my best, but I hope you enjoy it for all of its nonsensical glory. This character, Dr. Professor, who shall remain nameless until you put all the pieces together, comes in. It ends up basically becoming an improv game. Comes in and makes a sweeping statement, but also a specific statement about the Kansas City Chiefs. And I am left to interpret her musings and what it is that she truly means at the core of the statement. So I enjoyed it very much. I've done this game with Dr. Professor outside of the recorded realm many a time. It's kind of absurd, but I also find it very fun. So I hope you do as well. Thanks for listening as always.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
If you have anything that you'd like to get off your chest, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, as always, we're an open book. Don't call the phones because they don't work half the time. The other half of the time, we ignore them fully.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
My side of the desk looks like a toy store at this point. I have my big blue cup. I have a Spider-Man chapstick on my bag. I have my pink fidget spinner. I have a koosh ball. And now I have a grumpy cat and a jester hat hanging from my microphone. And Beards has a wiener dog that loosely resembles his own self.
Maybe.
Where is the wiener dog currently?
It's right here.
Can we put it somewhere?
I was trying to think about that. I don't know where.
Can you set it on your microphone? I think you might be able to. It's got some. Yep. Yes!
See, the problem is, though, this microphone arm is very not good.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's the bad one, so I just kind of put it, like, in front of the board.
Or put the wiener dog going lengthways so it's facing you on the microphone, perhaps.
But it's still going to knock
it's,
the
yeah,
mic.
It's
still going to pull it down.
The weight's not good.
Also,
well, I mean, if you don't want to...
Doctor, please, let me introduce you.
Sorry, I spoke too soon.
Thanks again to Madam President of the Nintendo for showing up at the end of the last hour and really moving along our negotiations regarding the XXXXXXXXXFL. But now we are joined by Dr. Professor, a expert of all things Kansas City Chiefs. It's kind of a weird time, and we're going into Pro Bowl weekend. There's really, like, there's you can basically talk about whatever you want in sports radio at this moment, which is something that we're trying to prove every day, especially today. And Dr. Professor, can you explain a little bit what you do?
Oh, why, yes, dear Joshua.
Don't say that.
I can say whatever I want. I'm the Dr. Professor and in charge of all things Chiefs.
My name's on the show.
Alrighty then. Well, you see, I happen to know everything there is to know about the Chiefs. And mm-hmm. in fact, Kansas City sports and all sports mm-hmm. entirely.
Wow. That really feels like some very specific shade.
Yes, it is. I'm also very direct and honest. You can ask me just about anything.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and do some of this. Also, if you have any questions for Dr. Professor, you can call the show at 913-491-8255. We'll see how Dr. Professor wants to do today. Any Chiefs questions you may have, 913-491-8255. Ask Dr. Professor.
We also take Facebook.
Yes. Any Facebook comments and questions you may have for Dr. Professor, just go ahead. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can comment on the Facebook page, or you can call the show. Any Chiefs-related questions. But first, Dr. Professor, I want to sort of just let you have the floor. What's the first sweeping generalization you'd like to make about the Chiefs?
Oh, well, of course it's about the wide receiver.
Sure.
There are so many things that I could talk about, but I want to compare him today to a Pez dispenser.
That makes a ton of sense.
Uh-huh.
Tyreek Hill, obviously, is who Dr. Professor's talking about here. And, you know, he was a late-round draft pick, and there are a lot of issues going on there. But it wasn't until you really took the time to open up the machine. Oh, this rough, kind of scary plastic outside here. We don't really know what's in there. Oh, there's candy inside. What a mm-hmm. pleasant surprise. And then also, like the Pez candies of a dispenser, the meteoric rise of Tyreek Hill has been popping up just one Pez at a time. He has risen to the head of this Chiefs offense, is I think what you truly mean there.
Also, his hair is very cartoony.
Also very, that's another great point.
Thank you. This is why I enjoy talking to you gentlemen. You understand the complex metaphors that I deal with every day.
Yeah, it's something that I feel like only Beards and I really can understand.
Yes, and you see, I believe specifically that he is a grape Pez. You understand what I mean.
Yeah, no,
you?
Of course. Sure, yeah, Tyreek Hill's a grape Pez because he was very underrated still. Mm-hmm. It's no one's first choice, the grape Pez, but whenever you actually are having your offense surrounding it, if you will, obviously, to continue the metaphor, mm-hmm. Then you actually have a very solid building block. You don't have to be your main option, perhaps, but you have a real orange Pez in Travis Kelce to really even it out. Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Anything else in your mind currently?
Oh, well, yes. There's the thing about the running back.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wrote just a very long article that you all should read about how the running back really just needs to burn.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. You could say that Andy Reid really was pulling Kareem Hunt back, especially in that middle section of the season that was so challenging. And it's hard to say this for running backs because their careers can already be so short, mm-hmm. but Kareem Hunt really should be kind of a candle you burn at both ends.
Yes.
I think is what you're referring to there very clearly. The Chiefs are really going to have to rely on him more next year, especially with Patrick Mahomes coming in as a quarterback that needs to rely on a running game. I think they need to burn that Kareem Hunt candle while they have it. 100% agreement.
Mm-hmm. Also, I've written a complex song about the Chiefs recently.
Sure.
Yes, it will be coming out on iTunes
two of
shortly.
Us. Stunning, okay?
Oh, sure. We should collaborate sometime.
Absolutely.
I believe. Yes, it is called Kicker, Kicker, Never Sicker.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good hook.
It really hits deep.
And oh, it, of course it does. There are so many instances around the NFL when you have so many kickers, especially just right across the division, mm-hmm. the LA Chargers, they just have had kicker issue after kicker issue after kicker issue. Harrison Butker, though, the Chiefs kicker, is never sicker than the other kickers, especially in the AFC. Also, the Chiefs last year went through two kickers. Kicker, Cairo Santos, mm-hmm. kicker, Harrison Butker. Now, kicker, never sicker, never again, because they got it right in two.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you understand my metaphor.
Yeah, it's clear as day. Beards nods in agreement. It's very obvious.
Completely understandable.
Completely understandable.
I didn't think of these.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why she's a doctor.
Oh, yes. And going back to the metaphor with the Pez dispensers.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, please go back to the metaphor of the Pez dispenser. I loved that. Was my favorite.
Well, it just continues on with candy, I believe.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I'm trying your patience, Joshua.
No. I love this one. This one's my favorite.
All right. Well,
I definitely am going to know what you're talking about.
I'm seeing Andy Reid as mm-hmm. becoming more and more sugar-free.
Very specific. She's getting very specific. It's really going to challenge me. Yeah, Andy Reid, very
yes.
sugar-free. Uh-huh.
Like, I can see his movement towards this kind of full sugar to the sugar-free and really, like, what that means to society. You know.
Hi, I'm the narrator. It was in this moment that Joshua realized this was going to be a real tough one.
Absolutely understand where you're coming from.
Uh-huh.
Andy Reid certainly also lost some weight this last offseason. Very happy for him, just trying to live a healthier lifestyle.
Yes, we all noticed that.
And now, you're right, he has to get what I think you could call sugar-free. Mm-hmm. What's Andy Reid's sugar? It's the checkdowns.
Yes.
It's the conservative offense.
Obviously.
With Alex Smith as his quarterback. Andy Reid just can't get away from that sugar.
Mm-mm-mm.
He cannot get off of it. Well, now that sugar is going away. We're going to see a sugar-free offense this 2018 season because it's going to be Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is not going to tempt Andy Reid with some of that sugar. What is sugar to him is anthrax to me. Don't get
goodness.
Me wrong. But in Andy Reid's own mindset, that's how he's really going to a sugar-free diet.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No,
do you
please.
Mean to say
please,
that perhaps Andy Reid is getting a cavity from this, that it's causing some sort of a rot.
Exactly. You don't have to say that. I'm sorry. I should have said that for you because I knew that's what you meant. Yes. A part of his sugar addiction here is certainly rotting out the entire jaw of the Kansas City Chiefs.
And so you're suggesting a full-fledged laughing gas drill in the mouth override of this sugar problem.
Extraction.
Thank you.
I want to cut out Andy Reid's jaw and put in a new one. I want to give him a cyborg mouth.
It's a completely new jawbone.
Yes. The whole way through.
Okay, excellent. Yes, and I wanted to talk about the defense.
Of course.
Also, if you have time.
So did I.
Do you have time?
Oh, yeah. No, we've pretty much burned through that Alcides Escobar story, so I think we're good.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, the defense, you see, I really just see it as this weird combination of Hollywood movies.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, that is... That's right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a defense that I would say one of the biggest things plaguing Hollywood. There are too many reboots.
Of course.
Probably one of the other than all of the sexual assault stuff, which you know, I mean, we can write that one. I guess that's number one. One A, one B.
Survey.
The real biggest problem is with all of the sequels and all of the reboots.
Yes,
the
Chiefs your are going, Star Wars shirt is
right. It's an example of that.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are going into 2018 with what you could call a sequel to the last mm-hmm. several years, underperforming defenses with Bob Sutton. It's basically Hollywood out there. You've got some retread actors and most importantly, you have a director that just keeps directing the same movie. It does okay in the box office, but certainly not well enough. You lose the creative integrity. I could not agree with you more. The Chiefs' defense is Hollywood.
And I don't want to see the third movie in this trilogy.
I guess you're saying chronologically, because of course there are prequels involved
yes.
and everything. Yeah.
Obviously.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We're talking in forms of Star Wars metaphors. I don't even know why you would need to bring that up.
Of course not. No questions so far.
No questions so far?
No
Nobody wants to ask me anything?
No one's watching.
Oh, goodness.
If you would like, in future, if you listen to this in the podcast at some point, after you finish doing your meth for the day, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe and, we'll field a bunch of questions for Dr. Professor's, next appearance as if there will be another one.
Did you just say that your viewers are doing meth?
Just a guess.
Oh, That's surprising. I would think they would all do cocaine.
No, it's more about the, it's more about people on Twitter.
5 days.
Oh, 5 days in a row we've mentioned cocaine on this show. Wow. Well, Dr. Professor, we'll let you go. But first, I know you've been saving your most powerful Chiefs metaphor for last.
Oh, of course I have.
Could you please deliver that one for the people here before we part ways for the day?
Joshua Briscoe, have you ever seen a gardenia bush?
Beards, can I get some music for Googling a gardenia bush? Of course I've seen a gardenia bush.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe it for me, please?
It's a big green bush covered in lots of little white flowers.
Yes. And can you please describe the Chiefs for me?
This
it's
is
a big
this
green
is like,
bush covered in little white flowers, Joshua.
Now I feel like I'm at my therapist, but he's asked me to evaluate him. And I don't want to be baited in to your trap, because I know that you're doing some sort of, like, Jedi mind tricks.
Well, of course. I am the Dr. Professor.
Oh, of course.
And what you really want to talk about is the pollination and how it's aiding to the problem of the disappearance of the bee.
That's a great point.
Yes. I know.
And that's where we'll pick up next time with Dr. Professor from drprofessor.gov.
Thank you.
Doctor, thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Your check is in the mailbox.
Oh, good.
You can have half of, you can have the other half of Beards' $1 million bar.
Oh, that's
I have
very
half
generous.
Of it, but you can have the other 500 grand.
That seems slightly unfair. You should treat him better.
Proves that not even the highly educated know everything. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.